Well, good morning, church family. Welcome to worship. We are Hebron Road, and we are excited to be here to lift high the name of Jesus. Would you stand? Let's worship Him.
In the rubble and the ruins of this world's history, we will sing a song of triumph, bowing at Your feet. When every earthly kingdom lies as shattered stone, we'll praise the King who stands upon the dust of every other throne.
Oh, Amen. Oh my goodness. How about that for a start to service? Is that incredible? Well, good morning and happy July 4th. I love seeing all of this incredible red, white, and blue out there. Y'all dressed the part. You did amazing. My name is Mike Goddard. I have the incredible privilege of serving as a superintendent for our Prestonwood Christian Academy system of schools. It's one of the greatest jobs ever, but I just get to love and serve our kids. I want to welcome you today. If you hadn't had a chance to pick up our guide that's out front, we've got an opportunity for you to be able to do that, to find out all the summer things that have been going on. It's been an incredible summer. Can you believe it's July 4th? Like, where did the summer go? The month of June was packed here at Prestonwood. We had incredible things happening. Baptisms like crazy. It was unbelievable. Professions of faith, of people changing their lives forever. Saw several children at Adventure Week come right up here with Pastor Graham and accept Christ into their heart for the very first time. If you want to see all the things that are going on in Prestonwood, you can text 74788, text GUIDE to 74788. Now, also, I want to welcome all of our guests that are here today. I was praying all week having a chance for those. I will tell you, when you get a chance to be a part of Prestonwood, whether you are broken and bruised, stressed or blessed, this is the place to be. Because God has a place for you, and you're going to hear today from Pastor Graham specifically, whether you're here or you're online, of the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. We celebrate freedom now in the Independence Day of July 4th, but there's nothing like the great freedom that Christ gives you. If you're a guest with us today, if you can text GUEST to 74788 as well, whether you're here or online. Now, we're also going to be able to give you a gift. If you come out and see us at Guest Central, I'd love to meet you. One of those gifts that we get to give you is a free buffet at Main Street. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, John, you've been a member since 20 years. I saw the twinkle in your eyes. You cannot rejoin again. Okay, the buffet's good, but it's all right. I'll get you a buffet, okay? But come by and see us at Guest Central. I also, today's an incredible day to celebrate those servicemen and women who are here with us today or watching online. I can't wait to celebrate them. We're celebrating you here today and online as well. I'm a proud grandson of two World War II vets, and I'm an incredibly proud uncle of a Marine who just returned back just a few days ago from serving overseas, and he's here today with me today. So, I love you, Parker. Will you join me in prayer as we lift up this service? Lord, we just come to you, and we thank you for allowing us to live in a country where we have the freedom to come and worship. Let us never take that for granted. Lord, in a time right now when some are trying to define evil as good and good as evil, let us stand for the truth and let us be those who are standing up as bold, faith-filled lions who are living truthfully and in our truth for you. Let them see Jesus in our actions. Let them hear Jesus in our words, and let them see us live boldly for you as we live here in America the beautiful. In your name we pray. Amen.
would ask that you please be seated. At this time, we honor all men and women who have served in the American Armed Forces. When your song is played, we ask that you stand so we might recognize and say thank you for your service. The salute to the Armed Forces of America. You may be seated. Some fight with horses and chariots. Those of us that know Jesus, we fight on our knees every battle throughout our lives.
When Goliath stands before me and my courage slips away, when the storm blows all around me and I'm blinded by the rain, it's when I'm at my weakest, you cover me with strength. In the middle of the darkness stands a light that never fades. There is a name that makes the mountains tremble. There is a name that shatters every stronghold. A matchless name, higher than all others. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. And I will not be broken by the tossing of the waves. And I will not be shaken by what the giant says. For when I'm in the battle, you cover me with strength. In the middle of the valley stands the banner of your grace. There is a name that makes the mountain. Shatters every shadow.
Good morning, everyone, and happy 4th of July, not only online, but on site right here. It's so good to see you, to be together, and we are practicing one of the great freedoms, top of the list freedom, which is our freedom to gather and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And we celebrate our faith in Christ. We celebrate our flag, Old Glory. We celebrate our freedoms. And we celebrate our families, including the family of faith, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is a day to celebrate. It's also a day to prayer, to pray, because our country is in desperate need. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we need God. We need the presence and the power of God. We need a spiritual revolution now. And that is what I'm going to be talking about in the message today. But we are asking God to move in our hearts, move in our churches, our communities, our country. We love our country unapologetically. Those of us who live here in America, we're blessed to have over 40 nations represented online and beyond that on PowerPoint, our television and radio ministry. So we know God loves the world. And because God loves the world, we love you as well. But we gratefully love our nation. And because we love Jesus, we love the things that Jesus loves. And Jesus loves freedom. And Jesus loves the opportunity that we have to preach the gospel of Christ. So we love our country. And we are unapologetically patriotic on a day like today and really every day because we're grateful for what God has done in our lives and giving us the privilege to live in this great nation. Spiritual revolution now. Let's pray. We ask you, oh God, now to open our hearts to your word and your word to our hearts. May Jesus continue to be glorified not only in this worship but now in the word. We pray, oh God, that your truth, the truth that changes our lives, would be clear today. That your spirit would move in every heart, including the one who preaches this message. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Are you enjoying this Romans series? I hope you are enjoying it. It's the essential gospel. We started the first Sunday in February with the essential gospel, the Romans series. And did you know, I had someone look it up this week. Since we began the Romans series, we have seen lives changed and 462 baptisms in that brief period of time, just the last, 5 months. In fact, we're praising God that in the month of June alone, we've seen 299 people follow Christ in believers' baptism and over 400 decisions for Christ. Now, when I found out, I asked, how many have we baptized in June? They said, 299. I said, we don't have 99 anything. Surely there's one more somewhere. I was asking assistants and secretaries and ministers if they would let me baptize them last week, but we didn't quite get to 300, but we're so grateful. And a lot of this came as a result of our great student camp, 153 baptized in the bay down at our student camp. Would you like to see what student camp looked like? We brought a picture. There it is. That's all 1,000 of us. 1,000 students and sponsors, and we're so grateful. And you know, when spiritual revolution happens, it typically happens among young people. The Jesus Revolution, the Jesus Movement of the late 60s, of which I was a part, the early 70s, that happened primarily among young people, teenagers and young adults. And when revival comes, it's going to be stirring in the hearts of young and old alike. The fact is that the revolutionaries, the heroes and the heroines of the American Revolution, so many of them were young. I believe Thomas Jefferson was just 33 years of age when he composed or helped to write, led in the writing of the Declaration of Independence. So many young revolutionaries, and the men and the women of the American Revolution are among the most inspiring in all of history. Though imperfect, these patriots gave their all to create by God's hand and providence the most exceptional nation in the history of nations. Pat Williams, my friend, has written a book called Revolutionary Leadership. We're featuring it, as a matter of fact, in our book of the month. We highlight a book every month in our bookstore, and this month, July, is appropriate, is Revolutionary Leadership, and it's an incredible book, one you'll want to get. He takes various heroes and heroines of the Revolution and talks about the leadership principles of their lives. So I would encourage you to know the patriotic history of America, the real history of America, not the rewrite of the history of America, but what actually happened. And our young people need to know our history and our heritage, especially in times like these, in a time of crisis. It's a time to renew our commitment and our liberty, which is a gift from God. God gives the gift of freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And when asked, what do we have, Benjamin Franklin, when the nation was born, what have you given us? He said, we have given you a republic, if you can keep it. If you can keep it. Another revolutionary leader said, eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. Out of the Revolutionary War came victory, and with that victory came this land and this liberty. And I want to talk to you about revolution. Not American Revolution or National Revolution, but spiritual revolution. It's really the theme of the book of Romans, isn't it? As we've been looking at it, as we've been studying it passage by passage, we understand now that every person is guilty before a holy God, and sin has condemned us. We are destined to judgment because of our sin, but God in His Son, Jesus Christ, gave us eternal life. It's called justification. We are made right with God, and His righteousness is now ours. We are accredited with His righteousness. We have accrued this righteousness to ourselves by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God has demonstrated His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We learned in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a great salvation. And yet, eternal vigilance is the price of this freedom, because there is an ongoing struggle, just as there is an ongoing struggle for freedom in the world and in the nation. There is an ongoing struggle in this spiritual freedom, because salvation, justification, is just getting started. Though it began in eternity past when God loved you and set His mind and heart and affection upon you, it began in you when you received Christ as your Savior, and now you have, not will have, but now you have eternal life. And we noted that when we are saved from the penalty of sin. But not only are we saved now from the penalty of sin, but we are being saved from the power of sin. This is called sanctification, in that we are growing stronger in this grace that we've been given. We are growing up in our faith, and we are learning more and more to live out this Christian life as we are being saved. We have our identity in Christ. That comes with justification. And now we have our growing maturity in Christ. That comes through sanctification. The last time we were together in Romans chapter 6, we read this about our relationship to Christ and to our old self and our old way of living. He said, we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless. And watch this. So that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Because of what Christ has done and is doing in our lives, we are no longer enslaved to sin. That is, sin is no longer sovereign over us. Just as the American revolutionaries overthrew the sovereignty of Britain over this nation, Christ and his cross has given us freedom and overthrown the power of another, and his throne, the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, rises above all others. And now we are no longer enslaved to sin. We're no longer mastered by sin. We're no longer controlled or dominated by sin. Verses 10 and 11 in that same verse 6, I hope you remember what we said in Romans chapter 6. If you don't, go back and watch again. I would encourage you, if you'd like to pick up on the Romans series, just go to our website, go to prestonwood.org, and all the messages are right there. So I hope you remember. Remember what we were saying in Romans chapter 6? As the scripture had those three verbs which said that we are to ask and we are to reckon and we are to yield. Remember that? Somebody please nod your head. Amen. Thank you very much. And because of that, verse 10 of chapter 6, for then death died. He died to sin once for all time, but the life he lives, he now lives to God. So too, consider yourselves, watch this, dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. And so here we go. We're living in Christ. We're no longer dead to sin. We know who we are. We're counting and applying and appropriating these great truths to our lives, and we are yielding our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're ready to go onward and upward, forward forever. But uh-oh, then comes Romans 7. Part of me wants to just skip Romans 6 and move right on to Romans 8. And we're going to get to Romans 8. But stuck in the middle with you is Romans 7. And all of us. Chapter 7 of Romans begins with a lengthy discussion about our relationship to the law. And when you read Romans 7, it talks about the law, the law, the law, and the impact and the influence of the law on our lives. And the law is spiritual, according to this passage of Scripture. The law is spiritual. The law of God is good. There are people who say the law of God has now expired. The Ten Commandments are no longer irrelevant. They're obsolete. No, the Ten Commandments, the law of God, the holy and moral law of God written by the very hand, the very finger of God, they still apply. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're not saved by the law. In no way are we saved by keeping the law. That's what we've been learning all along. Not any of us are saved by doing good, because there is none righteous, no, not one. But the law in grace becomes our guide for living, and the law is good. And because the law comes from God. In fact, you're in Romans chapter 7. Just watch on the screen and listen to these words from Psalm 19, verses 7 and 11, regarding the instruction and the law of God. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more perishable than gold, than abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb. In addition, your servant is warned by them, and in keeping them, there is abundant reward. There is reward from God for keeping his commandments and keeping his laws. We don't break the laws of God. We're broken on the laws of God when we disobey God's commandments. Jesus. You say, well, what about Jesus? Are we to be legalists? No, we're never to be legalists. A legalist is someone who's providing a to-do list in order to go to heaven. You think in some way that your own to-do list, better than others' to-do list at times, will get you to heaven. It will not. It cannot. Law, works do not save. They do not help to save. Hear me say that. But Christ has fulfilled the law. He is the embodiment of the law. And when Christ died for our sins, he took our place on the cross. And now we live in the law of God by the power of the cross and the resurrection. We live according to God's command, which are good and perfect. Jesus summed them all up with two. He said, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. And the second is like it, your neighbor as yourself. So yes, the law is good. And Paul talks about the law and the relationship that we have to the law. But then in verse 14 of chapter 7, he shares a personal testimony of his own spiritual journey. For we know that the law is spiritual, that is, it comes from God. But I am of the flesh, sold as a slave unto sin. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. And now if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one that does it, but it is the sin that lives in me. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. For in my inner self, I delight in God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body. Watch it. Waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. Whoa. Who's talking here? The goat. The greatest of all time, the greatest Christian in my view who ever lived, the man who wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit 13 of the 27 New Testament books. And even as he's writing Romans, he's talking about his own spiritual struggle with sin and self. When Paul talks about his own autobiography in Christ and he includes the struggle and that the struggle is real, it's inclusive of Paul, it's inclusive of all. And every one of us can identify with the great apostle here in this struggle, in this war that comes within. We should be encouraged by the fact that Paul opens up and owns his own struggle. Because it reminds us that if Paul experienced this and found victory in Jesus through this, then by God's grace, we can as well. It's incredible, isn't it, that Paul would say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." It's a word which means miserable. Someone called this message the cry of an unhappy Christian. Paul is miserable. And the most miserable person on earth is most often not the unsaved person, but the saved person out of fellowship with God. And Paul is dealing with his frustration and his fellowship with God. And he said, "Oh, wretched man." is a declaration, it's an acclamation, and it's also an intercession. He says, who will rescue me? Who will deliver me from this dying body, this body of death? He's saying what so many of us have said. What is wrong with me? I want to live the Christian life. I want to obey God. I want to please God by doing what God says, but I'm struggling. There's something wrong within. And what is wrong within is this spiritual battle, this civil war that takes place between the old me, remember the old Adam, and the new me. When we come to faith in Christ, we are given a brand new nature, new desires, a new direction in life, a new determination to obey God, a new dynamic to live for Christ. But the old nature, the old me, my flesh, what I was BC, before Christ, that remains. And for all of our lives, all of our days, until we get to heaven, as Christians, we will struggle with self and struggle with sin. But the question is, how do we win? If we've been given all this victory in Christ, these promises, this provision in Christ, that we are alive and the resurrection power is in us, how can we live? How can we win? Number one, I want to say, prepare for battle. Prepare for the war. It was Benjamin Franklin, the father of our nation, who said to be prepared for war is one of the most effectual means of preserving peace. So peace with God comes at the result of a war and being in the fight. Again, it's the struggle that we all have, and we have it all the time. We never get to the place of perfection this side of eternity, this side of heaven. Because we're always struggling and we're always growing through the pain, through the process of this fight between the flesh and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We have three enemies if we're talking about a war, if we're talking about a battle. We know we have an infernal enemy, the devil. The devil is an enemy, and the devil is real, and the devil attacks us, certainly, and all of his demonic forces. So there's the devil, there's the world system, the world that is anti-God and anti-Christ, call it the culture, call it society, call it a world without God, which always wants to conform us into its own mold. Later on in Romans chapter 12, we're going to read, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world wants to conform us, to compromise us. And so there's the pressure of the world without. But then there's the big battle of the war within that goes on inside of us. This struggle, and this struggle is real. And we face sin and temptation and failure and fall into disobedience throughout the days of our lives because old habits and old attitudes and old anxieties and old anger and old lust and old lies can keep resurfacing. It's as though these are the residuals of an old life. The dregs at the bottom of your coffee pot. Still there. It's also kind of like an undertow in the water, just dragging you, pulling you away from the shore. Oh, wretched man that I am. Too many Christians are miserable and unhappy because they've not learned to overcome the power of self and the power of sin in their lives. Know this, if you are following Christ, you're in for a fight. Before Christ, it really didn't matter, did it? You didn't care. You certainly didn't have a chance to win in this spiritual battle. But now that you know Christ, you want to please him. You want to follow him. You want to obey him. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, I have all this desire to love Christ, to live for Christ. But what I want to do, I don't do. And the very things I don't want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. Can anybody testify with Paul? Somebody said, Paul must have been a golfer. I was getting a little lesson the other day, and I was talking to my golf pro who was working with me and one of my buddies who was standing there, and I was talking about this message. I said, you know, this is a good illustration of my message, trying to hit this golf ball, because I know what to do. I know how to stand. I've had many chances to get it right. And every now and then, you know, in golf, you get on a streak and you start winning and hitting great shots and you think, I now own this game. This is it. For me, senior tour, here I come. And then something happens and the wheels fall off and now you can't hit a shot and it's going sideways, it's going in the trap, it's going in the water. You get my point, right? I mean, it's like, you know, that's what Paul is saying. He said, I get on this winning streak. I'm winning, 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 winning. And I'm saying, now, okay, I got this Christian life right. We're on our way to heaven. And then we go to a losing streak and we're no longer winning. Why? Prepare for this battle and then understand and know your enemy. You are a warrior. You are. In Christ, you are a warrior, and warriors know who their enemies are. The world, the flesh, the devil. You might look at Paul's testimony and his transparency here and say something like, well, I guess Paul must have been a hypocrite. Because Paul was saying one thing and doing something else. The great apostle Paul, he's struggling with all these sins. What were his sins? What were his besetting sins? What were the problems of self? We don't know exactly. But we know it was real for Paul. And he's struggling. But he's not a hypocrite. And neither are you when you struggle with sin. You're a hypocrite when you hide your sin and you cover up your sin and are not honest and open and own your sin. You are a hypocrite when you quit resisting sin. Get it? Christ has given us now the power to overcome sin and self. This fight between the old man and the new person, the old person and the new person. Clint Eastwood, gotta love him. 91 years old, still active, still engaged, still making movies. Someone asked him, what's your secret? He said, I get up every morning and I don't let the old man in. The problem is, the old man is already in. In our flesh, we are decaying, we are dying. And this old part of us resists the work of the Holy Spirit. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. And look with me at verses 16. This is a well-known comparable passage. One way you learn to read the scripture and interpret God's word is to move from scripture to scripture, and there are tools that can help you do that. And here's a comparable commentary on Romans 7. He says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. Desires there, or lust, is another word for what we are experiencing in the flesh. It's the old desires, the old lusts. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires What is against the flesh? These are opposed to each other. Here's the war within. So that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That is the law of the flesh and the laws of God, which we cannot keep. We are now led by the Spirit of Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, here's this war that's going on, the flesh and the spirit, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the spirit, what God wants and what I want. The problem is self. We keep feeding the flesh. There's an old axiom which says, if you want to overcome sin in your life, starve the flesh and feed the spirit. If you feed the flesh, you will starve the spirit. But what are we talking about? This self, this flesh, these desires. It's self, it's ego. It's Jack, not Jesus, on the throne of my life. It's my taking command and control of me. It's self on the throne. Self expresses itself in a lot of different ways. Self-indulgence, self-centeredness, self-reliance, self-righteousness, self-justification, self-expression, self-pity, self-consciousness. Need I go on? Toby Keith sang a song about it. You know it? I want to talk about me. I want to talk about my. I want to talk about I. And that's what Paul's talking about. In fact, when you read Romans chapter 7, you see him talking about I 25 times. And if you add in me and my, it's over 40 times. Paul had I problems. He, like us, in love with the perpendicular pronoun. Years ago, I heard about a tropical bird. It's called the Mimi bird. And it gets its name because that's the sound that it makes. Mimi, 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 Mimi. I've never seen a Mimi bird except in church. I've seen many birds who are believers. But that's the problem, isn't it? It's also called carnality, which is childishness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, we'll put it on the screen. You may want to note it. He says, for my part, again, Paul speaking, writing, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. So this idea of flesh is immaturity, it is childishness, it's acting like a child when we should be growing up in Christ. And that's what we're all dealing with these days. It's a problem for you, it's a problem for me. Paul says in verse 18 of chapter 7, he says, I know that there's nothing good in me, that is in my flesh. Not good. And you can't change this. By trying to modify your behavior, you can get self-help books and go to the psychologist, and I'm not against psychologists or biblical therapy or counseling, but it's not behavior modification. It's not a monastic lifestyle. There's a very popular best-selling book today called Think Like a Monk, and it's written by a Buddhist monk who's popularizing Buddhism, which is monasticism. But you can get in a hole somewhere on the backside of nowhere and practice a monastic lifestyle and fast and pray and fast and live in solitude and silence for the rest of your days, and you're still going to be dealing with self and sin within. So it's not monasticism, it's not modification of your behavior, it's not, you can manage your body, you can medicate your brain, But it's still not going to change the basic problem within, and that's the problem of sin, a principle that is working within every one of us, dragging us down, keeping us from being what God has called us to be. Paul battled it. You're battling it. But now for some good news. Stay in the battle. Prepare for the war. Know your enemies. And stay in the battle. That's what is happening here in Romans 7. He's fighting. He's resisting. You really have only two options when it comes to dealing with sin and overcoming sin in your life. And one is to relent, and the other is to resist. And Paul refused to give in, and neither should we give in. We're to keep fighting, knowing that we're not perfect. But God is not interested in our perfection. He's interested in the direction of our lives. You are new but not perfect, but now you're progressing. And if you will stay in the fight and keep fighting in the power of God's Spirit, you'll find yourself winning more and more over the power of sin. It is the presence and the power of Jesus in us that enables us to overcome sin, self, and Satan. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Ultimately, Paul is victorious, and he exclaims it after his question, who shall deliver me, who shall rescue me from this body of death? He said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is victory in Jesus. Amen? There is victory in Christ. You are to fight back. You're to do what Paul is saying here. Shout the victory. Thanks be unto God through our victory in Jesus Christ. Resist the enemy and he will flee from you. Stay in the fight. Be willing to go for it and take your punch, your best shot at the enemy. That's what David did. When Goliath was taunting and trash talking the name of God, David was indignant that no one would go out to fight. So the shepherd boy went out with a slingshot and a few stones and he killed the giant. And I love the story that says when he saw the giant and the giant is laughing and mocking at this little boy who's coming at him, David begins to run to the battle. He ran to the giant. The giant is a picture of Satan himself. And David overcame his fears, and with his faith, he conquered the giant, defeated the giant. Why? Because he had a cause that was greater than himself. It was the cause of the kingdom. It was the name of the Lord. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord our God. Paul ultimately was victorious. He kept on fighting. I love what he said in Philippians 3. He said, not that I've already attained or reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I've been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Jesus has captured me. I'm no longer a slave of sin. I'm a slave of Jesus. Whose slave are you? He said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. I'm not there yet. I want to do some things. I don't do them. I don't want to do some things, and I do them. He said, I'm not there yet. But this one thing I do, this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before, I pursue my goal, the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Keep fighting. He was later able to say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have run the race and fought the good fight. Keep fighting. Stand up to the enemy. Stand up to yourself and your own selfish desires. A few examples. Stop skipping church. Amen. Laying on the couch. Get back to church. Get off the couch and get back to church. Don't tell me you're tired because you stayed out too late on Saturday night. Don't tell me you got late time due. Don't tell me you're scared of some germ. Or whatever other excuse you're making. Get over yourself and do what the Spirit of God is leading you to do. And wholeheartedly, with all your heart, follow Christ. Be a person of integrity. And God will renew your strength. And when you fail and when you fall, He will pick you back up. I believe that God has called me to be on the front lines of a spiritual revolution now. And I believe God is calling you as well. Front line of the battle. Pushing back the darkness. Defeating the enemy. Honoring the king. Advancing the kingdom. Yes, you are a warrior. Don't wimp out. Stay in the battle. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Paul said, when I'm weak, when I'm ready to wimp out and quit, that's when I'm strong, that the power of Christ enables me in the middle of my weakness. The Revelation says they overcame him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. You're a warrior. Go win. In Jesus' name. Why? Romans 8:37. Can't wait to get to Romans 8. Because when we get to Romans 8, you know what? Instead of I, me, my, I in Romans 7, Paul, and we make the discovery of the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8 real quickly. I'm about to land this plane. But Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation. Remember, there weren't verses and numbers between these passages as they were written. So he goes right from Romans 7 as recorded to these words. Therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. We're free by the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Romans 8, which begins with no condemnation and concludes with no separation, tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Wholeheartedly give your life to Christ. Make a difference. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop going to church. By the way, if you're coming to church, stop coming as a consumer and be a worshiper. Don't be a taker. Don't be just a taker. Be a giver. Tithe. Give generously and sacrificially. Utilize your spiritual gifts, and you have them, in spiritual ministry, serving the Lord. Get your family involved. Worship, grow, serve, witness, be a light, pray, and obey the Spirit, because the strongest people are the people who pray. And there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, everyone. Standing, please. Would you bow your heads with me? As always, we want to give an invitation to those of you watching online, and especially as well those also in this room. Because if you don't know Christ, as I said, you don't care about all this, and you really don't have a chance to defeat sin and all the problems you're facing, all the psychosis and all the rest of it, all the things, the hopelessness, the loneliness, the anxiety, the depression, you don't have a chance apart from the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus, who loves you and gave himself on the cross to die on the cross for your sins, and he rose again on the third day? And the Bible says if we confess him, if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, we will be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to just ask everyone be praying right now. If you would say to me, Pastor, today I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to put my trust in Him. I want to give my life to follow Him. I know it's a struggle. I know it'll be hard. But you will give me the power, God, to overcome my sin and myself. And I want to trust in you, and I want to follow Jesus. I'm tired of living this old way. I want to trust in you. If that's you, and you want Jesus to come in your life, you would say, Jack Graham, pray for me. I want to trust in Christ as my Savior. Would you hold your hand up right now high so I can see it? Just hold up your hand. Hold it up high. In the balcony, all across the lower level, say, it's me. I want to trust in Christ as my Lord and my Savior. God bless you. How many of you would say, you know, I really don't know. I may be a Christian. I don't know if I'm a Christian. I don't know what the problem is, but I want to know. I need to know. I need the assurance that I'm saved, that I'm going to heaven. Would you hold up your hand right now and say, pray, I need assurance of my salvation in Christ. Just hold it up. Hold it up high so I can see. God sees your heart and God sees you. How many would say, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not living for the Lord. I'm struggling. And really, I've been giving up. I've just been giving in. But I want to get back in the fight. I want to reignite. I want to renew my faith. I want to get back in all the way for Christ, wholehearted for Christ. You want to dedicate and rededicate your life to Christ. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Would you hold up your hand right now? Just hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. So many today. There are others who need a church home. You need a church family. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Our family, we're praying about our church membership. We need to be involved in the church. We need to serve the Lord where we can grow in our faith. Pray for me and our family. I want to know and do God's will regarding my church home and my church family. Would you hold up your hand right now? Hold it up. Prayer. Yes, yes, yes. Lord, we thank you for all of these. Some trusting you as Savior, others renewing their faith in you, others, Lord, praying about their future family, this church family. Lord, work in this service, and now, especially during this time of decision, may your Holy Spirit convict and change lives and move as only you can move. Perform miracles in people's lives, the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of Jesus Christ and the new birth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.